righteousness. We're going to talk about the subject of righteousness, make a mention of Abraham and a man named Phinehas, someone perhaps that we don't look at as frequently as we would Abraham. In our Bible class this morning, we referred to a parable that Jesus gave, and I want to refer to it again quickly. I plan on doing this at the beginning and at the end, and to kind of set the scene for what we are going to study this morning. He also told, this is Luke 18, verses 9 and following, he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. You know, he's pointing to this tax gatherer next to him or near him. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A short prayer the second man gave, but it revealed a very different outlook about himself, about God, and different from the fellow that was just praying, the Pharisee, in that parable. We've heard of Abraham, where the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him or imputed to him for righteousness. We will look at a fellow in a few minutes named Phinehas, which is an interesting story from Numbers chapter 25. But what I want to stress here is this. Amazing as it may seem, you can be in a right standing, a right relationship with God who is righteous. He is holy and righteous. He is light. He is without flaw. There is not one trace of darkness in God. And his demands upon mankind and what he is as he looks upon sinful mankind, there is such a gap between us, such a distance between us, and yet it is possible to be in a right standing with God. Isn't that amazing? We will look at that as we progress through our study this morning. A lot of people have a very low view of God. They view God more on their own level. They think of God in terms of just another human, or maybe he's slightly above us, but he is very holy and very righteous, and the Bible indicates that very thing. Job said this, in truth I know that this is so, but how can a man be in the right before God? That's Job chapter 9 verse 2. In Job 15 verse 14, what is man that he should be pure, or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? And then in Job 25 verse 4, Job says this, how then can a man be just with God? Or how can he be clean who is born of woman? The Bible says that Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now listen, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. What Paul is telling us there, and he tells us through the whole book of Romans, is that God has made it possible after many centuries of working out his plan. He has made it possible for man to be in a right standing with him, to be reckoned or to be imputed or to be considered righteous. That's why he says, for therein, that is the gospel, therein is the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And that's what we're going to be stressing here. Next Sunday is commonly called Easter, which is really not a biblical word. Next Sunday would be the third day after the, or the day after Passover, the Jewish Passover. And as we know, some 2,000 years ago, our Lord died over this particular Passover, which is at this time of the year, and he was raised on the third day, which was the first day of the week. And I want us to think about the events that will take place concerning that. Jesus died, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. And he had many witnesses to that fact. And we are talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. But before we get into that further, I want to talk about God's righteousness. God's righteousness. God is righteous. He is righteous. He is ethically righteous. He is morally righteous at all times, at all places, and in every way. He can be relied on to never be inconsistent with his nature. He is unchangingly righteous. Isaiah 51 and verse 6 says, "Lift up your eyes to the sky, then look to the earth beneath, for the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not wane." Abraham. It says of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly," or deal righteously? That's what Abraham's statement is. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul says this, "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Now, because God is righteous, sin must be punished. God doesn't just wink at sin or turn his head away from it or ignore it or sweep it under the rug. Sin must be, all sin must be punished. That's in the nature of the order of things because of God's righteousness. We will talk more about that on point 3 when we get there. Man, I think, does not appreciate the righteousness of God. He is righteous. He is high above us. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 7, "Even the stork in the sky knows her seasons, and the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the ordinance of the Lord." Jeremiah is speaking of Israel in his day. How they just didn't appreciate, didn't understand the ordinances and the righteousness of God. But Phinehas appreciated it. I've already mentioned Abraham, and we're familiar with Abraham, but I'm going to read from Numbers chapter 25 to an interesting story that takes place in Numbers chapter 25. "While Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, 'Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel.' So Moses said to the judges of Israel, 'Each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor.' Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in all the sight of the congregation of the sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through the body, so the plague of the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. Wow. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, in that he was, notice, he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not destroy the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Let me read an interesting comment made about this event, which I think encapsulizes so well into what takes place. When Israel had provoked God to anger by idolatry and prostitution, and Moses had sentenced the offenders to death, and the people were in tears, and a man chose that moment, now listen to this, a man chose that moment to swagger up with a Midianite party girl on his arm, and Phinehas, almost beside himself with despair, speared them both. God commended Phinehas as having been jealous for his God, jealous with my jealousy, so that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Apparently, the man who does this, who's an Israelite, he brings a Midianite woman, is engaging in an illicit and immoral sexual relationship, goes into the tent to do this, and Phinehas is so upset, he's so offended, he's so turned off by this, and he knows how offensive it is to God, he goes in and takes a spear and runs it through both of them at the same time. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Now, what's my point here? Phinehas appreciated the righteousness and the holiness of God. Under the law, it was pretty harsh. There was no mercy and forgiveness built into the law. For them to have done this was so offensive to God. And Phinehas carries this out in zeal for God. Now somebody says, do we do the same thing today? Well, of course not. We don't do that today. And the New Testament doesn't teach us to do that. But what it teaches us is that we are to be zealous for the righteousness of God and His standards, His morals, and His ethics as we live as Christians before the world. We are to have that zeal and that jealousy for God's honor and His glory in our lives. What we see around us should offend us, and we should do in Christ-like ways things to help people to escape from these things. We must, in our Christian lives, we must confess Him and confess His standards without apology, without fear, without embarrassment, without shame. We don't do the same thing as Phinehas did. We would be in the wrong to do such a thing physically. However, we are to have the zeal for God that Phinehas had. The Old Covenant did not have mercy built into it. The New Covenant does. And that's what makes it a better covenant. And the New Covenant of Christ has mercy and forgiveness built into it as part of the covenant. Now let me look at man's unrighteousness. Man's unrighteousness. God is righteous. Man is unrighteous. Sin, unrighteousness, robs of a right standing with God. I want you to do something right now. Not verbally, audibly. I don't want to hear anything from us. But I want us to say in our minds, what God, without God, I am unrighteous. You don't have to say it out loud. I just want you to say it to yourself in your mind. Without God, without what He can do in my life, I am unrighteous. Because that's what we are, each one of us. You see, man and woman, men and women are in an argument with God. Did you know that? Men and women are in an argument with God. The argument goes like this. God says, I have good things for you. This is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to see things. Man says, woman says, no, I want to do things my way. I want to do things the way I want to do. And so there's an argument that goes on between God and mankind. Man says, my way. God says, my way, with a capital M and a capital W. Psalm 143 and verse 2 says this, and do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous. So there's an argument. God is righteous, man is unrighteous, and each one wants the other to accept it as it is. We are to accept his righteousness and then live up to his standards. But man oftentimes does not want to do that. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short, have fallen short of the glory of God. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Now I could go into more details on what the Hebrew says in that verse. I will not do it. It's not something I'll talk about publicly. Do your own research. Isaiah 64 verse 6. Find out what the Hebrew words say there. It might shock you as to what Isaiah is saying. There is none righteous, no, not one. Man is guilty, is unrighteous in the sight of a righteous God. You know, man has this way of being able to rationalize and try to justify his behavior and who he is and what he does, and he brings God down to his level thinking, God will understand. I know God's a little bit better than me, but he'll understand because I'm weak and I'm human and so forth. That's not so. That's not what the Bible teaches us. We need to recognize and honor and glorify God for his righteousness. Guilty man needs justification. Guilty man needs acceptance by God. Guilty man needs righteousness. He needs to be forgiven. He needs to be saved from wrath. He needs to be reconciled to God. Guilty man needs to be in a right standing with God. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4 and 5 say, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Number 3, Christ's cross. There are many wonders in the world, but by far the most astonishing, amazing wonder in all of history is that unrighteous men and women can stand accepted by God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 in the New American Standard says, to the praise of the glory of his grace which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. But in the King James it says, he makes us accepted in the Beloved. He makes us accepted in Jesus. In other words, God accepts me. If I'm in Jesus, he accepts me. I'm unrighteous, he's righteous, but he accepts me through and because of his son Jesus. God makes it possible to be accepted. God punishes sins, our sins, my sins, on that cross. Next Sunday, when the world is thinking about Easter, when they're thinking about the resurrection day, and they're thinking about, to the Christian, is the most glorious event of history, and that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Let us be thinking about the fact that Jesus on the cross and the death, the burial, and the resurrection makes it possible for me to be accepted by God, to be declared, to be reckoned, to be imputed righteous. God is extolled for his mercy. I want to read from Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. This is a hopeful verse of a righteous God who will and has made provisions for unrighteous man to be accepted by him. But it's not by ignoring his law or his righteousness. God doesn't take his law or his righteousness and just ignore it. There is no end run around his law, no violation of his holy nature. He forgives sin, but is still punished at the cross. And here's what happens at the cross. At the cross, God carries out his wrath against sin upon his Son, and at the cross he expresses his love for man, so that both are accomplished. His love and his wrath are satisfied so that he can forgive us. He takes out his wrath on his own Son. And let me read now from Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, 24 and following. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his, notice, his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God loves mankind. Look at the cross. God hates sin. Look at the cross. He hates sin. He loves mankind. And at the cross, he's able to bring both of these facts to their fulfillment and save us. We can't merit salvation. Therefore, we cannot pay a sin debt off. You can do all that you can. Somebody says, well, I don't know if I'm doing enough as a Christian. Somebody says, I just don't know if I'm working hard enough. Let me already tell you, I can answer your question. You're not doing enough. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to save you, to save you from sin. And then finally, God's power. God's power, number four. God's power makes righteousness possible. It is unattainable without the cross. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul said in Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The cross opens the fountain that makes it possible for unrighteous man to be counted, to be reckoned righteous. The righteous Jesus acceptable, we must attach ourselves to be in Jesus, and therefore we are acceptable. To have our faith in him, to repent of our sins, to confess his name, and to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. God is never in debt to man, to sinful man. He owes us nothing, but he calls for us to trust his 100%. Trust him 100% and live by faith. He cleanses the conscience of one who craves his righteousness. In 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is your standing with God today? What is your standing before God today? Does a righteous God impute, reckon you righteous, or are you still outside of Christ? There are only two ways to be declared righteous. Now listen closely. There are only two ways to be declared righteous by God. Don't ever sin, and you'll be declared righteous. And none of us fall into that category. Or to be acquitted by God and reckoned righteous by faith. Only two ways. You've got to live sinlessly and be counted righteous, or obey by faith, and he will reckon you righteous. He'll impute you righteous. He'll consider you righteous. He'll put that in your spiritual bank account. Psalm 13, verse 5. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. God's righteousness, man's unrighteousness, Christ's cross, God's power. What we've talked about this morning is the gospel. Let me close with this quick story. A large tenement house was on fire some years ago. It was thought that all had been saved when, to the horror of the rescuers and spectators, two children appeared at the topmost window. The staircase was a roaring furnace, and all means of egress was thus cut off. What could be done? Quickly, strong men got hold of a stout blanket, and holding it taut to break their fall, shouted to the children to jump. But all that the kids did was to look out with frightened eyes. Meanwhile, the fire was hissing and roaring and leaping from floor to floor until it seemed to clasp the entire fabric in its fiery embrace. "Jump! Jump! Jump!" yelled the people until they were hoarse, but all to no purpose. Just then a man came around the corner. In a moment, he took in the whole situation. Stepping quickly forward, he cried, "Jump!" And the children instantly obeyed, and they were saved. Going up to him, the would-be rescuers asked how it was that the children had jumped directly. He gave the command, whilst all their entreaties were useless. "I'm their father," he said. Their father. They trusted their father, and they jumped, and they were saved. Trust God in heaven, who is righteous, to get rid of your unrighteousness. Come now while we stand and sing.